is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, how are we doing here this morning? This is obviously Black Monday in the NFL circles. Coaching changes abound, as we've seen late last night and early into this morning here. But the regular season's over, and now we're off to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, we have that. We have the moment where we just kind of figure out who's staying. Assistant coach is going. It's a hard day for everybody in the NFL community because it impacts so many people, families. You know, you have kids in kindergarten, first, second grade. You know, you got to deal with that. Then you got, you know, kids older that are just going into high school and they want to stay with their friends and they've made there. It's such a transitional business that it's hard. And for fans, you know, they want a better coach. They want a better offensive coordinator. They want a better, but they don't understand the human element that goes into this. So it is a tough day. But some of these changes, as we all know, entering the business are result oriented. And if you're not playing well and you're not doing well, you're going to lose your job and you're going to have to move your family.
Yeah, and we will get into a lot of the coaching stages coming up in the next segment here. But just to set the table for what we do have on today's show, 30 minutes from now, our buddy Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata TG, will let us know what the early action has been for the 6 wild card games. We have the lines. They've been out since last night. We're going to talk about the lines as well. I can't wait to get into this discussion. I've already placed a bet, Michael, in one of the wild card games. We'll talk about that. We're acting early here. Markets are moving for this wild card round.
Four-game Femi's already placed a bet? That's impressive.
It's one game.
What caught your eye so quickly that, you know, I assume you understand there's bad weather in these cities that have outdoor stadiums, right? I know that the Packer Cowboy game and the Ram Detroit game and the Philly Tampa game should be good, but these other ones in Chicago and Cleveland, Houston, but these other ones seems like weather is going to be impactful.
Yeah. We'll get into it a little bit later on in the program. We'll tease that for the people.
Give them
something to stick around for. We'll give them something to stick around for here. Right. We call that a tease. But in hour number two, Stormy Bonantoni, who's usually hosting the show with you here on Mondays, our VSiN host, also does great work for ESPN doing college football sideline reporter. She is in Houston, boots on the ground for tonight's national championship game between Washington and Michigan. I also have a bet in that game as well. Stormy, though, will be giving us the lay of the land on what's going on down in Texas ahead of tonight's game. We'll speak with her at 11:15 West Coast time, 2:15 Eastern. Then at 2:30 in the second hour as well, Mike Pritchard, VSiN host and VSiN NFL analyst. He'll join us to give us Pritch's points as we turn the page to the wild card round. 6 games later on this weekend for Super Wild Card Weekend, as we are now down to 14 teams with a chance to win the Lombardi Trophy. But let's react to what we saw last night, though, Michael, with the Buffalo Bills left for dead at 6-6, 12 games into the season. Long shots to go ahead and get to the playoffs. Not only do they get to the playoffs, they also win the AFC East as they beat the Miami Dolphins 21-14. They cover. Game goes under the total here as Buffalo, they're now the 2 seed heading into the AFC playoffs.
And you know, they're the 2 seed and they turn it over 3 times. It takes a punt return, which was credit them, right? They didn't play well. They gave up points in the red zone. They had opportunities. They couldn't close them out. But, you know, they were resilient. And, you know, 3rd and 13, I know they got a defensive holding call on one of those plays, but Josh Allen's ability to run and make plays, they just seemed to find a way to win the game. And if you're Miami, you got to be heartbroken because your defense, if I would have told Miami your defense is going to give up 14 points, you're going to sit there and say, we got a chance to win this game. But you give up 14 points, a punt return, and then you only get one first down before the final drive of the game. You have one possession in the third quarter. That makes it really hard. That makes it really challenging. And so, you know, you can sit there and say, well, this and all that. I mean, when Miami had the ball with no time to get the game to overtime, at least they couldn't make the throw. And you can defend. I know people will defend Tua. It's playing cover 5. I mean, it's 2 deep man under. You know, blame Claypool if you want. But I mean, you know, that ball could have got picked off by the undercut corner. So 2 turnovers by him, no explosive plays, 10 third downs. I mean, this is really what you're dealing with. And this offense is trending in the wrong direction, and it has been for some time. I mean, they were sensational early, but when they don't have their run game going and they can't really make explosive plays down the field, they struggle.
Which is a problem because it's trending in the wrong direction, and it's been that way against really good teams, playoff caliber teams, and now those are the teams that they're going to face here in the month of January. To where, like, what do you think is the crux of the issue to why this Dolphins team doesn't have the explosive plays against the better teams in the league?
Because they're not very good in the offensive line. Their defensive line, when healthy, are really good. But think about it. Okay, earlier in the year, they got 726 yards against Denver. Okay, Denver's defense was not playing well at the time. The Chargers, 536, first game of the year, right? The New York Football Giants, they gave up 520. They ran for 524, had 524. But when they played Philly, it was 244. Buffalo, 275. Kansas City, 292. You know, even the Titans, they didn't move the ball as effectively as you thought they might. Baltimore, a lot of it was junk yards. They got 375. Whenever they play a good defense, including Dallas. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, Dallas, they play well. They settle for 5 field goals, 3 of them outside of 50 yards. So whenever they play against a physical team, I mean, the two New England games, you know, the New England, they scored 31 and 24. If New England had any offense, that would have been a much closer game. A much closer game. And I thought my initial handicap of the Miami Dolphins was their defense can overcome their offensive inefficiencies in terms of matching up to physicality. Unfortunately, when I said that, they had Phillips, they had Van Ginkle, they had Bradley Chubb, they had all their guys, they had Xavier Howard. Now they're depleted. They're depleted their defense. I give them a ton of credit for last night. I mean, they held in there. They held in as well as they could. Now they lost, they never got the ball back, but you know, they did as good a job as you could do. Their offense, 10 third downs, they convert 4 of them. They couldn't control the ball.
Yeah, and like you said, they played one of those doubleheaders, 77 plays for the Bills offense, and now they're on a short week for Miami going to Kansas City Saturday night where the temperature, oh boy, I think it's going to be in the teens, man.
You don't have enough clothes to dress in that. Like, you don't have enough clothes to dress, especially if you got wind. We got wind. We may have wind there, high wind. You know, if you think Tua is going to go into Kansas City with wind and dazzle them with throws, you got nothing coming. Because that ball was hanging last night, and it might be his shoulder. He might not be 100%, but I thought he had less zip on the ball last night than he typically usually does.
Yeah, it was not a good scene for the Miami Dolphins. You can kind of point to that Monday night loss to Tennessee as to why they probably lost this division. Tennessee also yesterday knocking out the Jacksonville Jaguars from playoff contention. Jags had like, it feels like a 50-mile lead in winning this AFC South after they beat Houston about a month ago. They lose 5 of their last 6 games, start 8-3. They end the year 9-8 out of the playoffs. Houston goes to the playoffs as the division winner, but the situation in Jacksonville is a rough one, and the seats might be hot heading into the offseason.
Well, I mean, look, you got to be critical of yourself. I mean, Trevor Lawrence doesn't even audible into the sneak, right? Doesn't even audible into the sneak. He's too far away to reach the goal line, and he tries to extend it over. That's a hard, they had a play call, and he went on his own to do something he shouldn't have done. They're pulling the right guard. You don't pull the right guard if you're running sneak, right? And so, and again, you know, I mean, they got a chance to get the game back. And of course, Doug, he hates, you know, first drive of the third quarter, they're moving the ball. They got a 12 play drive. They get all the way down to the, you know, the Tennessee 33. And, you know, of course he goes for it. Maybe he feels like his kicker couldn't make the kick. I don't know, but he gives up points there, a potential points. And then he comes back down. He's got 7 minutes to go in the game. He got a 9 play drive. Right. They're moving the ball down. They have the ball at the Tennessee 1 yard line. They go for it. They can't get it. They lose the game. And then, of course, they lose it on downs. But like, the downs one, they had a chance. It's 28-20 when he lost it on downs the second time. If he kicks the field goal the first time and they make it, it's 28-23 on that drive. You know, it's just to me, you know, they give up too many plays. The quarterback throws too many interceptions, makes too many bad decisions. This is a hard situation, and we're going to get into it. It's going to be an interesting offseason for Jacksonville because are you going to pay Lawrence $200 million for 4 years? He doesn't show you he's got the capability to make it. Everybody's telling me that Peterson's making him a better player. They have no toughness on offense. They have no attention to detail on offense. I don't see it. Their defense can't stop Henry when you know he's going to run the ball. And Tannehill tried to give him the game back, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't take it. I mean, Tannehill throws that interception. You got a chance to get back in the game, and you can't do it. There's no toughness on this team. They have talented players. They don't have toughness.
And this is something that we didn't second guess. We first guessed this going all the way back to the summertime. We loved the win total under on Jacksonville. We didn't understand why there was so much optimism around this team because they didn't have much of an offseason this past summer. And during the season, like, it never looked right for the Jacksonville Jaguars, even when they were winning games, and it ultimately ended up collapsing like a house of cards at the end of the season. Real quick before we head to break, have you heard from Big Daddy yet about the Green Bay Packers? They punched their ticket.
He's unbelievable.
They're in.
I sent him a text after the game. I'm like, I heard nothing from you. And of course, he said, well, I had to go out with my girlfriend. You know, it's her birthday, Susan's birthday. I had to do this and this, bada bing. I'm like, that team, I mean, Chicago, for all that I don't like about Justin Fields running the offense, their defense plays well, and they shredded them. I'm telling you, this skill, that's why I'm surprised today, Femi. The biggest shock, and we'll get this in the next block, the biggest shock for me was that this lined open at 7 and people started betting Dallas. I thought the public would be all over Green Bay. Of course, these are the pros that are betting Dallas right now. 7.5 seems awful rich to me.
It's a pretty big number, but Dallas has been a pretty good team at home. 8-0, the only team to go undefeated on their home turf all season long. We'll get more into those playoff lines coming up, but up next, the head coaching carousel is already moving here in the NFL.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge through the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video. Sign up today and get your first 30 days for only $9.99 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata, will join us 15 minutes from now. Let us know what the early moves were, the early bets, when they put those wild card lines up last night. Like I said, I put some of my money into the wild card markets last night, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But Michael, let's talk about some of the coaching moves that we've already seen. Late last night, right before I was about to go to sleep, the Atlanta Falcons, they went ahead and dismissed Arthur Smith, firing him after three 7-10 seasons for Smith. And of course, the Washington Commanders, which we knew that this was headed this direction about halfway through the season, but they went ahead and relieved Ron Rivera of his duties after a bad season for the Washington Commanders here. Any of these moves surprise you? I feel like we kind of knew that both of these were coming down the stretch here.
I think the thing that surprised me was how quickly Atlanta did it, right? Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, gave Arthur Smith a little bit of, hey, we're going to evaluate the season. We love Arthur. But that I think that loss really was the end of all ends. And of course, his anger towards Dennis Allen at the end of the game, to me, is like, look, it's your job to stop us. Now, you know, I know the players went and did something that they felt like they wanted to do for their teammate, which to me, like, you can get mad all you want. Nobody got mad at Mike McDaniels when he put 70 on Sean Payton, right? Nobody said a word, because everybody loves Mike McDaniel. Oh, he's great. You know, he wears his pants up high. It's wonderful, you know? And all of a sudden, poor Dennis Allen, he's catching shrapnel because, you know, his team, you know, tried to give the player a guy. And it's not their job. It's not his job. Your job to stop him. Like, I don't understand why everybody's all upset. Like, I've had it run up on me. It's a reminder that you're paid to stop him. And you'll remember it. The players will remember it. Whoever becomes the head coach of the Falcons will certainly remember it and use it as motivation. So I find it hard to believe that, you know, this is such a big story. But I think that Arthur Blank, the owner, firing him that quickly told you that he's not happy at all. And then what he put in the press release, which I think is very interesting, is that Terry Fontenot is not going to be the leader of the search. He's the general manager. Rich McKay, who's always been the confidant of Arthur Blank there in Atlanta, will be. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
So does that mean that Terry Fontenot should be looking over his shoulder here? Because I think a lot of people interpreted that he's safe.
No, I think he better look over his shoulder. I don't think anybody's safe in Atlanta. I think when you have an 82-year-old owner who's very impatient and wants to win, I think there's always going to be changes. Look, I'm telling you, Miami, I'm not saying there are going to be changes in Miami, but that owner, the reason Stephen Ross made the changes he made is because he wants to win. And he knows the clock is ticking. Now, you know, I'm sure they'll do everything they can do to win this offseason if they get eliminated by Kansas City, but they're a little trapped. They're going to have to pay the quarterback. They're going to have to do something. Arthur Blank, he trusted Arthur Smith to say Desmond Ritter's our guy. We kept saying all offseason, like, they're not interested in Lamar Jackson. Now, I'm not saying they could have pulled it off, but you're not interested in Lamar Jackson? Seriously? You're looking at me with a straight face and telling me this? I remember going back and watching the last four games of Desmond Ritter's year last year and saying, okay, you know, very conservative, didn't want to make a mistake, wanted to protect the ball. And then when he started to play and they asked him to do more, that's when he turned the ball over. So, like, to me, this is the price that Fontenot and Arthur Smith are paying are the price that their design of the team costs them. It's the same thing in New England. I mean, as much as I love Coach Belichick, to believe that Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones could lead them this year, especially Zappe. When they cut Zappe this summer, that should have been a red light that they needed to find somebody better. They went out and got Will Grier. They went out and got, but none of it came through. And, you know, that's where you end up costing yourself the job when you make a poor decision like that.
Yeah, they tried to move on from Zappe, but he went ahead and cleared waivers. And nobody had any interest.
That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, and they brought him back. And then there was Malik Cunningham. There was the thought to maybe he could play quarterback for them. But, yeah, it was a disastrous situation for New England at that position. But how about the situation, though, in Washington where the new owner, Josh Harris, who bought the team this past offseason, he wants a different face for this Commanders organization. And they're going to go ahead and cast that wide net. We've already heard that they've been reaching out to Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Raheem Morris, a bunch of these coordinators that have done a good job this season here. And it's going to be a pretty big committee that's going to help him find this next head coach. I mean, they just hired as a consultant former Warriors, Golden State Warriors general manager Bob Myers, who was doing TV work at ESPN. They just hired him as a consultant. Magic Johnson's going to be involved in the search firm. It feels like they got the Congress going on there in our nation's capital to find the next head coach, but maybe that's what's required.
Well, I mean, look, let's be clear. I don't know what they're looking for, but they're obviously casting a wide net. And one thing about Josh Harris, knowing him from being the 76ers owner, is he's going to give the person he puts in charge the authority to do the job he's got to do. So I think that on one hand, that's a good thing. You know, they're wasting no time at all. Obviously, they think they know what their problem is as they move forward. I think it's deeper than just hiring a good play caller. I think it's going to be challenging to get a president to come in. And one of the hardest things to do in pro sports is unifying everybody within an organization and getting alignment. Gaining alignment is way harder than everybody says they're on the same page, but gaining alignment's really hard in these organizations.
Why do you think it's so difficult to do it?
Because everybody's got a different agenda. Everybody sees the game slightly differently. And everybody thinks they're right. You know, everybody has a hard time saying, okay, you know, here's where I think we should go. No, we should go that way. Okay. Everybody has an opinion of it, whether it's a valid opinion or not. And what you have to do is get people, not who all think alike, but who share a philosophical idea on how to win football games. I think that's so important. And when you have that, you have a chance to really excel and build everybody together. But when you have certain facets of an organization that don't do that, one of the reasons why is San Francisco so successful. San Francisco went out, they went through this whole, we're going to hire a coordinator. Then they hired Chip Kelly. And what they realized is they needed somebody to come in and run to unify and get everybody aligned. They hire Kyle. Kyle goes out and hires John Lynch. Lynch isn't setting the direction or the tone. He's doing what Kyle wants him to do based on the philosophical understanding of the organization. Smart, but you got to know what you need, right? You have to know what you need and how you're going to get there. And in the NFL, it's very challenging because when the head coach isn't doing that and it becomes from the personnel, like in Jacksonville, for example. Let me ask you this, Femi. You think Jacksonville thinks you think that Jacksonville coaches think they have great talent? Probably no. Do you think the front office in Jacksonville thinks they have great talent? Everybody says they do.
Of course.
There's the conflict. That's why it's so hard.
Yeah, it ends up being that it's their fault. No, it's our fault, and it's a whole situation. And whoever wins the power struggle with the owner is the one that ultimately stays, and whoever doesn't, I guess it's see you later. On the New England front here, because the timeline is going to be really interesting with head coach Bill Belichick, won 6 Super Bowls, but it feels like we're headed towards a split here when you read all the tea leaves and all that. How do you think this week looks here? I know they're supposed to meet later on today. Are there going to be more meetings afterwards? Is it going to be a potential trade situation? Because Belichick said that he's under contract in New England. So, and he obviously still wants to coach. It's like, do you end up seeing him being a good fit for either of these openings right now, where there's the Falcons, the Panthers, the Commanders, or could somebody else pop up maybe? Maybe it's a playoff team that's currently playing that goes out and looks for his services. Who knows?
Well, I think if he comes available, he's a good fit for anybody. He's the best coach in the league. He's still the best coach in the league. I mean, you ask any coach who coaches against him. I thought it was interesting today, I think, in Peter King's column. He was asking Mark Sanchez, you know, and trying to say, well, Belichick's lost his fastball. I ask any of these coaches. I talked to a GM yesterday for a long time. And like I said, well, you know, he might go somewhere. And he's like, I hope he don't go there, you know, because they know. They know. And I think to me, it comes down to fit, right? If he's not with New England, and part of the rub in New England is what's the fit? So it's got to be the right culture. It's not, everybody thinks coaches are power hungry. It's same thing with Jim Harbaugh. Everybody thinks Jim Harbaugh wants to go somewhere to have all the power. No, he wants to go somewhere where he can control the culture. There's a difference between being power hungry and culture hungry. Great leaders want to be culture hungry. People that are narcissistic want to be power hungry.
And the way to be culture hungry, is it being able to control the 53-man roster?
To control the alignment of the organization, to control the culture. This is one of the reasons why your team struggles to win, because the owner controls the culture. Yeah. He controls it. You know, the head coach, that he goes on radio every Monday and tells everybody what they need to know.
Radio. He goes after the game and talks to the media, too. TG joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. I mean, in today's newsletter, get all the deets on who won Circa Survivor, the Circa Millions. There was a big celebration here at the Circa Sportsbook last night with all the champagne popping. You'll get all those details in the VSiN Daily Newsletter. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. How about the work that our crew did on this Bill 80 silhouette here that we got going on?
I love
on
that
here?
Thing. I mean, it could be, I love the briefcase that he's got in his hands. It's so perfect. You know?
It's amazing.
Everybody that looks at that probably doesn't even know what the hell he has in his hands. Like, who has briefcases anymore? You know?
He does. I see him around here at Circa. He's got his briefcase and also the shirt, the inside shirt with the buttons undone. It's the perfect length there because he always does so 2-3 buttons undone. So shout out to our guy, Bill 80 here at VSiN. The newsletter does a terrific job with it. Also joining us now, our first guest here on the program, he also does a terrific job over at the Borgata, where he is the race and sportsbook director. It's the one and only Thomas Gable joining us in his usual spot here on the Lombardi Line. TG, hope all is well. Last week, you were telling us how week 18 is bad to book. You don't like doing it as a bookmaker. Well, how'd you guys make out with this year's week 18 festivities?
We ended up okay on the day. And, you know, it's interesting because it wasn't just about the results of the games taking place in terms of the betting. There was also a lot of money to be decided yesterday in terms of division futures and season win totals, make-miss playoffs. So a lot of those things came right down, obviously, to the results from this past weekend. some big swings there in division futures for us between with the Texans winning and Jacksonville blowing the division there. That was a big swing in our favor. The NFC East, another one there. Nice swing in our favor with the Cowboys winning the NFC East and the Eagles obviously in free fall mode here going into the playoffs. So you had those. And then you had a bunch of season win totals that were still up for grabs. The Eagles was another one, 11.5, and somehow they stayed under. The Arizona Cardinals, 4.5. You know, they just missed going over with that game in Seattle. What a finish that was. Seattle winning by one. So a lot of decisions yesterday, not just on the games themselves, but we ended up having a pretty good day there in terms of the games. And then obviously when you add in all those futures that came in, we had a decent day.
Well, I want to know, last week on New Year's Eve, the Eagles lost to the Arizona Cardinals. And I went out for the first night, and it was a really kind of a depressing night. People were very unhappy as we entered 2024, Eagle fans particularly. So yesterday after that, now we understand the Eagles kind of retreated and pulled their guys out. But, yeah. I mean, could there be a more depressed area in the country right now than Philadelphia and these Eagle fans of what they, I mean, I watched the show last night, the Eagle update after the game. I mean, that was like the season was over. They've cashed it in. They want Sirianni. Have you posted odds to get Sirianni fired yet? Have you done that?
No, but I mean, I know a lot of people are asking for coaching changes there, and we're demanding coaching changes. And it's really strange when you look at this, when you look at what has happened to Philadelphia in terms of their power rating and where they were, and just the last few weeks of this season has been terrible for them, both defensively and offensively. I mean, everybody talks about how bad the defense has been, and that's true, but they have major issues as well on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, no Devontae Smith yesterday. Now, A.J. Brown may be hurt. You saw Jalen Hurts' finger there, what that looked like. Some videos coming out there after it looks like he struck a Giants player in the helmet. So they have a lot of things that are not going in their favor right now. But yet here, people are still betting them on the opener there. We opened them 2-point favorites in Tampa for next Monday night. And right now, the money and the tickets strongly, strongly in Philly's favor. We're up to 3 points now. The Eagles 3-point favorites here.
Yeah, we're speaking with
and
Thomas.
I bet you're going to get, and I bet the money line, you're going to get hammered on the money line too, TG. I mean, you know, Eagle fans don't want the points. The game that I want to ask you about, Tiffany, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but the one that caught me off guard was Green Bay Dallas. I saw it opened at 7, and it went to 7.5 fairly quickly. And you and I both know that half point is expensive to move on, especially when you're sitting there at 7. That shocked me. Where are you on that?
Yeah, pretty much everybody's at 7.5 on that one, Michael. And I actually opened 7.5. There were some places that did open 7. And, you know, the Packers, I think, will probably be somewhat of a public dog here this week. And probably the Rams as well. Packers probably won't get to that level of public support as the Rams will, but they're going to be a popular play. And, you know, the Cowboys are going to be a popular teaser play as well. So, you know, we'll see. When you look at it, Dallas is a different team at home than they are on the road. And this game being in Dallas, you know, and listen, Green Bay has full marks to them. They have shown really significant improvement offensively. I think they've protected Jordan Love very well. They're giving him time to make plays, and you know, it's whether or not their defense, I think, can keep them in this game.
Yeah, we've seen the total get bet up in that game as well as earlier. It was 49.5 this morning. Now 50.5, as high as 51 between the Packers and the Cowboys. We're speaking with Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. Well, TG, what about the Saturday games, the two AFC games? We get the Browns at the Texans and then the Dolphins going to the frigid temps at Arrowhead Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs. How have they been betting that game at open?
Yeah, so the Texans are actually getting some money early here. They're 2-point dogs at the moment. Total's 44. Slight tick up there on the total from 43.5 where we opened it. Dolphins and Chiefs. Chiefs laying 3.5 there. Total is 44. You've seen that kind of go around 44, 43, somewhere in there. But again, that game could very well be affected by weather. There's a couple games that are out there right now, and obviously we're a good distance away from the games at this point, being Monday here. But you're seeing temperatures obviously below freezing, well below freezing there in Kansas City. And then the same thing for the Steelers and Bills game on Sunday. But that one, you're seeing the total drop significantly. Full 5-point move so far to the under on Steelers and Bills. That's simply due to the wind forecast, where they're calling anywhere from 30 to 50 mile per hour winds, which is very, very significant. And you know, that's going to keep these teams, the ball's going to remain on the ground, and you're not going to see a lot of passing going on, and even some kicking is going to obviously be affected between 30 and 50 mile per hour winds. That's really significant.
I'm surprised the line hasn't kind of moved, Thomas, with kind of in unison to the over total, right? 35.5, 30, you know, and it's still 10. It's still a strong 10. And I think, you know, the wind is a great equalizer. And the fact that the Bills can't wait to turn the ball over as much as they do, 10 seems heavy with the weather.
It does. I think you're going to see a little bit of movement there if this total continues to drop. You probably will see some movement there on the spread.
Well, TG, let's get to the national title game tonight in Houston. Washington and Michigan, the Wolverines, 5-point favorites across the board. The total continues to tick up as high as 56. How are they betting this, and how do you see this kind of playing out?
Yeah, so we have a little bit more money on Michigan at the present. We're actually sitting 5.5 here. Michigan money has been coming in. It was early Washington money here, and then the last few days, it's been mostly Michigan money, but a lot of handles still to come this afternoon and into this evening. So obviously it's a national championship game. You're going to get everybody who has an opinion on this betting it. But I think, honestly, Washington has been able to play that disrespect card the whole way through here. They're able to play it now, saying that they're underdogs again. I would lean personally Washington taking the points here. They've been able to do it and prove a lot of people wrong throughout the year, against Oregon twice and then against Texas. So, and listen, I think Penix shutting him down is going to be a lot harder than I think Michigan realizes it. And they can also beat you on the ground, the Huskies can.
Yeah. When will the market learn? When will they learn, Michael? When will the market stop disrespecting the Washington Huskies? He is Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, hope all is well, and thanks for joining us as always.
All right, thank you guys.
So much disrespect. Thanks, for the Huskies. 5-point dogs. I mean, just, we're going to keep going back to that well. We took the points earlier, but we'll get into that game a little bit later. But coming up next, step into my office. The 145 appointments here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours.
Appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
time you and me had a private talk where step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
All right, the regular season is over and there's no time to waste. So we had to bump the appointments up about 30 minutes early here today on a Black Monday. And we will start, though, with Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, I think, you know, obviously you have tried to go the corporate route, right? You've given a general manager the authority. You've had Rich McKay with you for a zillion years. You got really close. You got really close, 28-3, and just couldn't quite get it done. And you lose Kyle Shanahan, and the next thing you know, your program falls apart. So at this point in your career, I think it might be time to go find somebody to give you what you need from a culture standpoint, from somebody who can come in here and command the room. Because look, let's face it, the attendance in Atlanta hasn't been good. You know, the thing that you have to do as an owner, what the general manager has to do is fix the quarterback, fix the head coach. And if I'm you, I go big game hunting. You know, I'll try to find, if Belichick's not out there, I think you should go after him hard. You've got great facilities. You've got a great situation in terms of Tampa, Carolina, New Orleans. Not a lot of teams you got to beat. You can sell that, but you're going to have to find somebody who can build a team, because you've been 7-10 the last 3 years. And you know what's shocking about your team, Mr. Blank, is you're slow. You've been drafted all these high-profile offensive players in the first 10 picks, and you're slow. You can't make an explosive play. So something's wrong. And I think you need to find a team builder. I think you need to find somebody to come in and help build the team and have a head coach who can command the room. It's about leadership. As you know from starting Home Depot, it really comes down to great leadership. You better find one.
Yeah, I mean, the point that you bring up about the division being gettable, I mean, we saw 8-9, 9-8 be the record that won that division the last 2 years. It's like, if you bring someone in there that's competent, you should be able to take control of the NFC South. All right, up next is interim head coach Antonio Pierce for the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders ended their season on the right note, beating the Denver Broncos. Fans chanting AP. What does AP need to hear?
I think what AP needs to hear is simply just stop. Your record speaks for itself. Just what he needs to do moving forward, what you need to do moving forward, is put together a great staff. Is pretend you are the head coach. Act like the head coach. You've auditioned. You won 5 games. You've done a great job. Now, the main question you're going to have to answer is, who is going to be your offensive coordinator? How are you going to fix the offense? And how are you going to get a quarterback? That's the only thing that you should be worried about right now, is fixing the offensive staff and getting and having showing Mark Davis you have a plan to fix the quarterback position, you and Champ Kelly, because obviously you're a partnership. That's the most important thing. Look, I'm going to keep saying this until I'm blue in the face. The job of a general manager, the job of anyone in the organization who makes decisions, are two things. You got to pick the head coach and you got to find the quarterback. Once you do that, everything else falls in place. But if you don't do that correctly, ask Jimmy Haslam, ask David Tepper. If you don't do that correctly, you just spin your wheels. Ask the Chargers, pick the quarterback, don't have the right coach. You know, I know that everybody thinks that Brady won all those Super Bowls and he did it all by himself and it was 1 against 53. But the reality of it is great coach with a great quarterback wins Super Bowls and wins championships. And I think Pierce needs to be able to show Mark Davis he's got that plan.
Yeah, it was a 5-4 record over the 9 games for Antonio Pierce as the interim head coach. The locker room seems to want him. The fans seem to want him. But the decision that is ultimately the most impactful, though, is the one that Mark Davis will ultimately make. All right, Trent Baalke, general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a disastrous end of the season, 8-3, end of the year 9-8, out of the playoffs. What does Baalke need to hear?
I think Trent's got the hardest job of all, because he's got to teeter along the line of understanding that it's not always just the players and it's not always the coach's fault. It's one of the hardest challenges any personnel guy has in life, is when you attack the coaching, you become a coach killer. And if you allow the coach to attack the players, then there's an imbalance. And so I think there needs to be, for Trent's sake, there needs to be a real hard conversation about where he went wrong and where Doug has gone wrong. And there got to be a mutual understanding of it. It's just not the coaching fault. It's just not the development fault. It's the fault of everyone. Because if he becomes like it was in San Francisco, where it's, we've got really good players, you're not coaching them well, then it really splits the organization. And you have this civil war that's very problematic. So I really believe that he's got to unify the organization, even though I agree his team's way more talented than it has shown. It should have won more than 9 games. But once again, what Balke's got to be able to do is understand what's the limitations of his quarterback. And it's clear he has limitations. It's 3 years now. He does dumb things on the field. Running that quarterback sneak was not a smart play. So he's going to have to figure out how to build the right team around this quarterback that we can't get away from. We're going to have to pay him. Now, how much we pay him, that remains to be seen. But we're going to have to pay him because the alternative is going back to having no chance. So this is a really challenging offseason for Balke, and he's got to get his ego out of it. He's got to get his ego out of it, because if his ego's involved in any of this, we have better players and you're not coaching them well, it's going to create a civil war that doesn't end well.
Up next, a quarterback of a team that has collapsed. They went 10-1 to start the season, end the year 11-6, now a 5 seed in the NFC. Eagles QB Jalen Hurts, who now is leading this team that is literally limping into the postseason. What does he need to hear?
Well, what he needs to hear is what Javon Hargrave said. Hargrave has been in San Francisco, and he just went on a podcast, and nobody in Philadelphia is going to enjoy this at all. But Jalen, he just went on the podcast and said it's a completely different atmosphere in San Francisco than it is in Philadelphia in terms of work habits, in terms of how hard practice is. So everybody in Philly thinks you're working hard. But obviously there's a guy who's not there anymore who left for a huge contract to go to San Francisco who thinks it's a different place. And so, yeah, last year the aberration, or is this year one of the things that we just can't stay healthy and stay together? I think it comes down to what Hargrave said. Are we working hard enough? It's clear, and I've said this all year, your defensive line's out of shape. They can't play more than 3 plays. There's no conditioning. So what he's saying has some merit here. And I think you as the leader of the team has to finally rectify that and have to come through. And you can't do it all by yourself, especially with your finger, which you admitted was disjointed, which got knocked out of place. Now you have an extra day to get ready for the game, but I do think that's going to affect your throw. And so you're going to have to bring the team together as the leader.
Yeah, and Jalen Hurts has also hinted at it earlier this season that maybe this team isn't as committed as it needs to be. So it sounds almost a little bit like what Javon Hargrave is saying now over with the 49ers. All right, the last appointment is Panthers quarterback Bryce Young. The team fired the head coach. They have now fired the general manager, Scott Fitterer. What does Bryce Young need to hear after a year where he went 2-14 as a starter?
Well, I think what he has to do is accept responsibility for a bad year. And then he's got to watch every single game of him playing. And then he's got to watch every single Drew Brees tape. And he's got to figure out a way where he can become like Drew Brees. That's got to be his mission. He's got to sit there and say, how do I improve myself? And it's not because we had a bad offense. It's how do I improve myself within the framework of playing in the NFL at a high level? Because the expectations for me are not going to be good. We gave up way too many draft picks for good. You're going to have to be great. You're going to have to be great. And the guy in Houston's become great. So stay within your lane. Don't focus on anything else other than what you do. Do what you do, but you're going to have to work really hard, and you're going to have to assume accountability for what happened there this year.
The bad season there. Bryce Young, 11 touchdown passes. Obviously, you wanted a whole lot more, 10 interceptions there in a year where the Panthers, the path forward is going to be really difficult with no draft picks. And now they got to find a general manager. They got to find a head coach. And who knows what's going on with the owner. But that is Step Into My Office here Monday after week 18, the final week of the regular season in the National Football League. But coming up next, Michael, we'll talk about some of these early playoff openers here, because this is a whole lot of fun. I can't wait to get into these games with you. Also, we'll get final recap of week 18 and begin to look at tonight's national title game between Washington and Michigan. Two great guests joining us in hour number two. Don't miss it. We're going on the DraftKings Network coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.